Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Well, good morning and welcome aboard on another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to having you on board with us today as we face some very, very important issues on this broadcast. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues each day, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Some have abandoned the Word of God. Some have abandoned the truth of the Word of God. Many have simply abandoned the word truth, not looking for it, not seeking truth. Everybody seems to have their own facts today. There seems to be no deliberation and discussion today because so many have determined their facts are correct. But ladies and gentlemen, when we go to the fact of the Scripture, we all should be on the same page. So let me introduce to you and remind to each of us that the source for truth is the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That was Jesus' statement to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. "And you shall know the truth shall make you free. And you shall know the truth." Why is the word "and" there? "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed." And, if you'd let me paraphrase it, if you continue in the word of God, we'll know the truth. And it's the truth of the Word of God that'll set us free. We're in bondage to the world and to the wickedness of the world if we're not in the Word of God to know God's Word. And then Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Thy Word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we do this broadcast each day, it's our joy to come to you based on the authority of Scripture, not some denominational dogma, some ideological figment of the imagination, as I call it, but simply based on the authority of the Word of God. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, you can join in this dialogue and discussion at any point, any day, simply by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to the radio studios and right to our microphones so that we can discuss these issues together. Today, we're discussing the question, or statement, however you want to couch it. What happens when a nation abandons God? What happens when a nation abandons God? And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but it's frightening to me to think about where we're headed in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe America has been blessed of God for some 238 years, 39 years now. We're approaching 250 years in just a few years as a nation. And in these many years, ladies and gentlemen, I believe God has blessed America simply because Americans' ideals, the American heritage, and our legacy has been founded in the belief in and the dependence upon the Word of God. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, as you might know, if you've got money in your pocket, we have imprinted on our money, "In God We Trust," which is our national motto, and many states have that, "In God We Trust." State of Florida has it in the Florida seal, "In God We Trust." It's been designated by a legislative process in the state of Florida that every schoolhouse, every school facility in the state of Florida will have someplace prominently displayed over the doors and in the corridors and in the buildings, "In God We Trust." And that is something that we have perhaps not thought very seriously about for all of these years, the term "In God We Trust," the national motto. Many states and have in their seals, as I said, the "In God We Trust" motto. We pledged our flag, and in our flag's pledge, we say, "One nation under God." Ladies and gentlemen, our Judeo-Christian heritage is based upon the Word of God And as a nation, we have historically turned to God in times of need, in times of help, in times of desperation, in times of national crisis. We've turned to God for a sense of hope and security and direction, encouragement. I remember during the days immediately following 9/11, right here in the state of Florida, especially in the I-4 corridor, up and down the I-4 corridor when they still had a number of orange groves. Out in the midst of those orange groves, facing the expressway, large signs, large billboards, pray, seek God, ask God to bless America. Other signs simply across America said, God bless America, God bless America. In times of national crisis and turmoil, we've always turned to God. But ladies and gentlemen, we're finding a major, major shift, a tectonic shift, I believe, today. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons that we have this belief in God, this trust in God, it's because our framers, ladies and gentlemen, our founding fathers, codified in our founding documents as a result of their dependence upon God, their belief in God. It was founded in our founding documents, ladies and gentlemen, woven inextricably into the founding of our nation, that God is the source of the blessing for America. I'm speaking of the creator controller God, the sustainer God, the God of the Bible. I'm not talking about Allah. I'm not talking about the fake, phony, false moon God that about a billion and a half people worship today. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you are wondering about that moon God, that fake, phony God named Allah and his prophet, so-called Muhammad, if you're listening and you have anybody that you know that believes in that, and they're telling you that Allah and God are the same, don't you dare believe it. Allah and God are not the same. Allah will send anybody to hell and God won't. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the founding documents and our founding fathers that placed our faith and trust and confidence in the creator, controller, sustainer of this universe, and that's the God of the Bible. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, all must recognize that some people are biblical fools. Now you say, all. I can't believe he said that. Well, the Bible said it, not me. The Bible said in Psalms 14:1, the fool had said in his heart, there's no God. That can be translated one of two ways. The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. Or the fool has said in his heart, no God. No God. And I believe that's what the text is literally, the proper translation is. The fool has said in his heart, no God. That is no to God, and that there is no God. And ladies and gentlemen, I would have never dreamed in my lifetime I would have seen the tectonic shift in America where we're saying no to God. We're saying there is no God. We're saying no to God in any fashion. We're asking the question today. We're talking about the issue today. What happens when a nation abandons God? So, ladies and gentlemen, how do we respond to the fact that as of this day, the Socialist Democrats, the Democratic Party, they've literally kicked God out. They've abandoned God. It was the U.S. House of Representatives, the Representative Steve Cohen, C-O-H-N, of Tennessee, who said, and let me quote to you, ladies and gentlemen, the quote from Representative Steve Cohen from the state of Tennessee. He said, and I quote, I think God belongs in religious institutions, in temples, churches, cathedrals, but certainly not in Congress, end quote. This is when the socialist, ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Democrats, this is the point of demarcation. This is when they abandon God. And I watched that video footage, ladies and gentlemen, from that House of Representatives debate and dialogue and discussion when they ejected God. Someone said something about the fact that they were giving the swearing-in oath and they were not swearing-in in the recognition of God. And then there was a hoopla that rippled across the House of Representatives floor, and different ones spoke, but that was when Cohen spoke and basically dissed God, disrespected God, abandoned God, and kicked God out of American society. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're confused about that, Google it. If you wonder about the reality of that, look it up. But ladies and gentlemen, what does God's Word say about a nation that abandons God? God's Word dealt with that considerably in the Old Testament. And God's Word in particular speaks of it specifically in the 15th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles. It is an entire unit of thought, verses 1 through 19. Don't get excited. I'm not going to try to preach or teach the 19 verses. I'm simply wanting to extract from that, lift from that, a verse or two to set the stage on what we're talking about today, where we're talking about a nation abandoning God. The scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2, and it's speaking to King Asa, and it says, "The Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." The scripture goes further. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Verse 6 says, "And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversaries." Adversity. Ladies and gentlemen, may I simply pause and gently say, but very poignantly, pointedly, and prominently say to you, our listening audience, I believe we're on the very cusp of, we're on the very verge of watching God's judgment and bringing adversity on our nation as a result of our legislative process abandoning God. Keep in mind, we're a representative form of government. Those that are up there making these decisions represent we the people. And ladies and gentlemen, some 240 in the U.S. House of Representatives made the determination that God does not exist in the halls of Congress. They have abandoned God on the behalf of the U.S. citizens in America today. We as a nation, I believe, we've literally allowed this to take place by our silence, by our failure to stand, by the refusal of Christians to be dogmatically clear that we will not tolerate this kind of people, these kind of leaders in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2 is very, very clear. The Lord is with you while you are with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. It was Liz Cheney, Republican representative from Wyoming, that denounced the socialist Democrats as they moved to abandon God. She said, and I quote, "The Democrats have become the party of Karl Marx," end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, what happens to a nation when they abandon God? What is it that takes place when we, as a nation, abandon God, God's word, and God's laws, and we are a society then devoid of God? We need to look no further than the acts and the deeds and the laws that are passed by the party that abandoned God. And that latest one, ladies and gentlemen, that was signed, that was voted into law last Friday by the U.S. House of Representatives, majority ruling, and that was the Socialist Democratic Party, voted House Bill 5. It just passed the U.S. House and is now sent to the Senate to debate. And already, ladies and gentlemen, out of 100 senators, we already have 46 senators. You heard me right. 46 senators that have sided with and they're supporting House Bill 5, which is Senate Bill 788 in the U.S. Senate. Both Senate Bill 788 and House Bill 5, called the Equality Act, provides us a good idea, ladies and gentlemen, of where we're headed and what happens to a nation that abandons God. Ladies and gentlemen, it looks like, as a nation that's abandoned God based on House Bill 5 and Senate Bill 788, that bill, ladies and gentlemen, literally abandons God. It ejects God. It rejects God. It refuses to allow God in any part of society. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. I have reviewed and analyzed this House Bill 5, which is now Senate Bill 788. I've extracted from it 10, 12, 14, 15, 16 different things that can be poignantly, very clearly stated by way of this radio broadcast to give you an idea of what a nation looks like, what we are doing, and where we're headed as a nation that's abandoned God. The Equality Act, ladies and gentlemen, is absolutely void of any morals and ethics and values and any accountability to God. It's as though God does not exist. The fool had said in his heart, "No God." Ladies and gentlemen, the Equality Act, as it presently stands, was approved 100% by the House, Socialist Democrats. They enacted this bill for it to become ultimately become law, and if it becomes federal law, ladies and gentlemen, it will be damaging and damning and ultimately destructive for the morals and ethics and values in Christians in America. I know some are saying, well, that's negative. I want to hear something positive. Well, I'm not Joel Osteen. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that God loves everybody, and as a result of that, you can have a kumbaya moment and not worry about God's judgment. That's not what the Word of God says, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, this law destroys women's and girls' and sets into law a genderless society. It literally eradicates anything that's called femininity. It eradicates anything that's called female or girls, and it will place us in a genderless society. No male, no female, just gender identity. And ladies and gentlemen, that sounds horrific, as you understand, under the terms of the LGBTQ gender identity fiasco, they have already discovered some over 100 so-called gender identities. A woman's identity as being a female will no longer be viewed as female. Women and girls will be forced to allow males and transsexuals and pedophiles into every shower and locker room and bathroom and restroom and dressing room. This is the reason there's still an ongoing boycott of Target stores, because Target stores, women and girls, females are not safe at all. They've had several dozen cases where men dressed as women or men just dressed as men walk into the women's dressing room at Target stores because they want to be a peeping Tom, or they want to do videotaping, et cetera, and destroy the freedoms and the rights and the protection of women, girls, mothers, and grandmothers in Target stores. I say continue to boycott them. Don't even go. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Congressman, Equality Act would nullify civil rights for women. Representative Doug Collins, Republican of Georgia, the ranking member of the House of Judiciary Committee, has joined in the chorus opposing H.R. 5, the Equality Act, which embeds in federal law the agenda of the LGBTQ. Literally, that's what this law does, ladies and gentlemen. It literally, the U.S. House of Representatives have literally become the representative branch, the legislative branch for the LGBTQ community across America. And let me tell you once again, if you've not heard any of these broadcasts before on this subject, across America, according to the CDC, it's like 0.67% of Americans that fall into the category of the sodomite lifestyle or the LGBTQ or transgender group. Pew Research back in 2013 said it was 0.87%. Let's just give the benefit of the doubt and say it's four times that. And so let's just round it out and call it 4%. Yet we're watching, ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. House of Representatives pass legislation, federal law, at the behest of and on behalf of 4% or less of the national population. You must ask the question, who's getting paid? Why is it we have these legislators to go into the House of Representatives, the Senate, they're just a few years, they become mega millionaires on salaries of $150,000 to $200,000 a year? How is that possible? It's possible because of the lobbyist and the payola that takes place for them to vote. The legislators today, ladies and gentlemen, especially those that have just voted as the socialist Democrats that have just voted to destroy the rights, the freedoms, the ethics, the morals, and the values of every American, they're being paid to do so, and it's not the salary that I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says the Equality Act will let schools, not the parents, make decisions about our children. The House Democrats just aren't just moving to force gender-free locker rooms and dressing rooms and showers in America, but the most extreme version of the LGBTQ indoctrination is the classroom, the sports arena, the business, and the social services. This article says not the political line the political line is even more blurred, as the House Democrats aren't just moving to force gender-free locker rooms in America, but the most extreme version of the LGBTQ indoctrination in our classrooms, in the sports arenas, and in the businesses. This article further says what we're seeing in schools is not just a push to support children and to nurture them and accept their questioning, but instead, what we're seeing is an aggressive push to dictate a particular look or a particular lifestyle or a particular moral for our children, and it's not based on the feelings of the parents. If you really do not like this, this is a stereotype thing, this article says, that associates people of the opposite sex, then you may actually, in fact, be the opposite sex yourself, this article in its perversion tries to lead one to believe. Franklin Graham pushes and says the LGBTQ agenda in the author cartoon, Our Taxes Are Funding It. He and Franklin Graham is talking about the recent episode of the PBS cartoon called Arthur, where it showed two male characters getting married and Arthur and other characters applauding this blatant promotion of male sodomy. He goes on to talk about the LGBTQ being pushed even on public television that's being paid for by the taxpayers' dollars. Here's an article that says schools invite drag queen to encourage students to be themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just reading the headlines for you to understand that this already permeates society, and that's being codified into federal law. And this law, ladies and gentlemen, that's just been, this bill that's just been passed by the U.S. House of Representatives, churches will be forbidden to, under penalty of federal law, to print, to publish, or distribute any literature against the sodomite lifestyle and or anything against the LGBTQ movement. This is actually this law will become a hate crime law that will punish and persecute Christians for our stand in the marketplace about thus saith the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, according to my Bible, God created government. Government is a servant to God. And according to Romans chapter 13, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, government is designed to punish evil and to protect good. But we have totally reversed that activity, ladies and gentlemen. Under this law, under this bill, if it is finally passed into law, ladies and gentlemen, it will become the prosecutorial arm of the federal government to prosecute, to persecute, denigrate, and destroy, and close the doors of churches across America and put Christians at jeopardy. Ladies and gentlemen, this so-called Equality Act openly and frontally contradicts the Word of God, which says God created male and female. Not transvestites, not transsexuals, not transgenders, not those that are gender dysphoric. But he says in Genesis 1:27 that God created man and woman, male and female. This law, ladies and gentlemen, will require by penalty of fines and prosecution and persecution all religious institutions and employees, and will force the employers to pay for gender transition and other medical procedures that violate the Word of God. Did you hear what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? Are you listening? Does it concern you? Does it get you upset? Does it bother you? Does it get you passionate? Well, I suggest you get on the telephone and call your senators in Washington. The representatives already passed the bill. Call your senators and demand that they say no. You see, ladies and gentlemen, even the conservatives in the Senate now are being pressured and pushed and promulgated to vote yes on this bill. All it takes is another five votes, ladies and gentlemen. They've already got 46. All it takes is five more senators that will get paid enough into the coffers of their next election campaign, paid for by the lobbyists for this LGBTQ sodomite group across America, to push this into legal standing that will destroy the churches. Ladies and gentlemen, this so-called Equality Act completely eliminates any Christian defense against the LGBTQ by using the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. You see, in the 1990s across the states, state after state produced and passed what's called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. That was done in the state of Florida in 1998. But the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, I've said many, many times down through the years, if you can pass a law that gives you so-called liberty and freedom as Christians to do and say based on the First Amendment, then you can pass a law that will cancel that law, and therefore it will reduce it to naught. And that's what we've done. We have lauded and praised the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of the 90s that says that gives us freedom as Christians to pray publicly, to publicly speak, to publicly pass out tracts and so forth and so on. But ladies and gentlemen, that law, if this law becomes law, the Equality Act, it will absolutely destroy the Religious Freedom Restoration Acts across America. And this law, the Equality Act, will become the law of the land. Number six, ladies and gentlemen, churches will be committing an illegal act if you in any way require a religious employee to abide by any set of standards that says that marriage is between a man and a woman. It will make that church become illegal by doing so. This new law, ladies and gentlemen, the Equality Act, forces Christian churches and organizations to choose between their biblical faith and the violation of God's word. This new law creates a universal right to abortion on demand. This is why the Socialist Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, are so irate over the new heartbeat bill that was just passed in Alabama. You would have thought the world had come to an end. You even had a bunch of the people out there that were demonstrating against it in the Feminist Equality Act movement, the LGBTQ so-called females, if you could designate it that, got in the nude and demonstrated and marched out from the Capitol in Alabama because they were against this heartbeat bill being passed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm cheering on the Alabama government and those across the nation that are passing heartbeat bills. We had one introduced this past legislative session in the for the state of Florida. Mike Hill out of District 1 in Pensacola introduced the bill, and because he didn't lick the boots and kiss the feet of the leadership in the House, even the conservative leadership, they cubbyholed it and would not let it get out of committee because they said he didn't get their permission to introduce the bill. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it was killed in the state of Florida, the heartbeat bill. And I say that every state needs the heartbeat bill that says when that heartbeat is heard by a stethoscope that, ladies and gentlemen, that's a live human being in the mother's womb, and it should be considered murder to extract that human being by way of abortion. Ladies and gentlemen, this anti-God law gives Christian people and people of faith an ultimatum. That ultimatum is simply this: change your faith based on life and practice, or face the strong arm of the socialist Marxist government and the prosecution and persecution that'll take place. Ladies and gentlemen, this new law will take the doors off all showers, off locker rooms, all ladies' bathrooms and dressing rooms. In every public place, in all schools, kindergarten through college, these private areas no longer will be private for the girls and the women and our wives and mothers and grandmothers. Even churches will not be exempt if this law passes. If the church invites the public to come in for a public event, the churches will be under that same law and regulation. You heard me right. This is the ultimate sodomite victory over the morals and ethics of society, and especially in our churches today. This new law will change our educational system completely. All books will be forced by legislative law, will be forced to include the LGBTQ agenda, the sodomite agenda, and our morals and ethics that had a little left in them in the classroom will absolutely be wiped away. There will be total immoral indoctrination via the educational system in America if this bill becomes law. It's already passed the U.S. House. It's now in the U.S. Senate. And I urge you, ladies and gentlemen, listen, call your senator. Call the U.S. Senate main switchboard. Call them and say no, no, no on this bill. Say we stand for God. We stand for God's word. We stand for our liberties. We stand for the religious liberty and the freedom that we have in our First Amendment as Christians. We'll not allow it. Disallow it. Say no. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the ultimate goal. I've said for many, many years, the ultimate goal for the LGBTQ sodomite movement today across America, the ultimate goal is to break the doors down, to break the walls down of the church and force the church of the Lord Jesus Christ not only to approve it, but to embrace it and to carry out their mandates even in the church. This bill, very simply put, is the veil plan. It is a veil plan to ban Christians, Christian churches, and our religious liberties in America. It is a veiled plan, ladies and gentlemen, and if it becomes law, it will absolutely eradicate our First Amendment, the religious liberties that we have, and the freedom of speech. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, in some places today, this is true, this is taking place? Here's an article that says a rugby, that's R-U-G-B-Y, that's a sport, a rugby star loses a $4 million contract just simply for posting a Bible verse. A rugby Australia star whose $4 million contract was canceled simply because he posted the biblical warning that hell awaits drunks, homosexuals, and adulterers is considering now a lawsuit against what they have done against him in canceling his contract. That's in Australia, and some listening might say, that's not in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the fast track. We're on the high side of the mountain with a banana peel under both feet, headed for the same thing, the same legislative process that takes place there. It's the same thing that's happening today in Europe that disallows a Christian from saying anything about morals and ethics and values, or else they'll be prosecuted, persecuted, jailed, or fined. Ladies and gentlemen, the bill violates our First Amendment right and will close the doors to churches that refuse to bow to this new legislative process. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow, as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.